Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Columbo right here for you, and it also includes the Justice Club, because there is no justice without communication, and we'll talk about that in just a moment when we enter into the world of authors and experts.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
That's right. There's very little justice in the world. So I want to tell you, before we even get started, that you are definitely welcome to the wonderful world of Columbo Chronicles with a myriad of prominent guests internationally, mostly nationally, but we do sometimes have international guests who are either movers and shakers and authors and also experts on a myriad of topics. We can go from love to crime to health to business to money, you name it. They have the information you need, and it is great information that you can take away to be empowered, enlightened, and be positive and forget about the doom and gloom and work towards your goal and just shut down the noise outside of your head and concentrate and focus on what you want your dreams come true. And on that note, I have a dream to create a best-selling book or books, and they are actually international award-winning books. This particular one is a political satire. It has adventure and it has humor, but it also is not just a book. It is a message to expand your mind and to get you to thinking, as critics say, which is very powerful. What would you do if you thought that the Judeo-Christian dinosaur nation was depopulated or made extinct by dark forces? So this is not just a book. It is a message for the world.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Columbo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Columbo, available at Amazon.com.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because today we have a fabulous guest returning, Joyce Alexander Black, and we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And today our topic is communication. How important is communication? Well, in my world, communication is everything, and we always need to figure out why we're not communicating our message, whether it's to the world, to a classroom, to a family member. It doesn't matter. Communication, in my opinion, is everything. And Joyce Alexander Black, she is an MA, and she is passionate about supporting you on your path towards living your best life. She holds a master's degree in clinical psychology. She's worked in Watson, Beverly Hills as an intern, and currently works as an international empowerment coach, speaker, NLP master practitioner, and hypnotherapist. She travels between London and Los Angeles, and she's also worked doing stress management in the television industry, including Paramount Studios in Hollywood, California, Universal Studios in Studio City, NBC Burbank, Walt Disney Studios, and as well as others. And she's worked with families and groups and held seminars and led seminars. And her website, if you want to go to her website and check her out, is JoyceAlexanderBlack.com. So let's say hello to Joyce and welcome her back to Colombo Chronicles on this beautiful January 18th. Hi, Joyce. How are you doing today?
Great, Rose. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a beautiful day here and the sun's shining, which makes me happy when I see the blue sky and the birds chirping and the butterflies flying.
And you get all that wonderful vitamin D.
Exactly. Everybody needs it.
That's
for sure. The sunshine makes a smile, you know.
Yes, so and I want to say, I absolutely love your book, and it's absolutely wonderful. It's such a great book, so I hope many people get it, because you are a critical thinker, and you incorporate and help people use their brain that they were given to think and question, and I love that about you.
Well, thank you so much. She's talking about my book, Obamasaurus, and it is a book for just about any age of anybody who's in school or is concerned about their retirement now. It doesn't matter, because humanity, we are dependent on the survival of humanity. And so that is a provocative thinking book about how we should be very concerned about preserving humanity, whether it has to do with the environment, whether it has to do with jobs, businesses, wars, whatever. That's our duty as human beings, to preserve a peaceful world for future generations. And if we don't have babies and children, then there will be no future, and nothing will matter at that point. So we have to be very careful on what we do to protect the babies, the children, future generations, and it's our duty to protect freedom, liberty, rights, and the environment so we can all live healthy. And on that note, speaking of living healthy, Joyce, today our topic is on communication. And communication to me is just about everything. And so I pulled up a Google search, and it's, what are examples of human communication? And it says, humans communicate and express themselves in many different ways, as we all know. Language, pointing, nodding, winking, improvised behavior, hand gestures, subtle body movements, even dancing or connecting with dancing partners, connecting with a partner, period, and the open-ended expressiveness of art. And so on that note there, how do you feel that as a whole in America, let's say, that our communication skills are working for the majority of people? Because there seems to be a lot of miscommunication going on, according to the news, the media, and politicians, and the general public. What do you think?
Yeah, and absolutely, I agree with you on everything you said, and it's really important because what happens is that so many people are extremely stressed out, and I say communication or lack thereof equals stress management or need of stress management. And what I find is that there's so many people who are just like on this roller coaster. It's like, I get up, I have all the stress when I wake up, I have to go to work, I have to take care of the kids, I have to, you know, make phone calls, do emails. I mean, there was a time not that long ago, and I know for some of the younger listeners, you might have a hard time believing me. However, there was a time that people did not have phones on them. There was a time people didn't even have pagers on them. It wasn't that long ago. I don't even know what year they invented the pager, but maybe it was the 80s. What do you think, Rose?
I think it was probably the 90s. I don't remember the pager in the 80s. I remember it in the 90s for sure. Everybody had a pager, and guys, especially men with the bells, you know, going beep, 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 beep.
Or the cell phone. Remember that? Oh, my gosh. It was monstrosity. But, yeah, before that, I remember because I used to own the Beverly Hills Licensed Massage Therapy Company, and I was doing massage for so many different people in all over the world. I was working like at the Beverly Wilshire, Beverly Hills Hotel, working at the studios, and, you know, people like name dropping because they feel good when there's a movie star, but I don't have any like need for that. But what I can say is that before the pager, there was a calm. And one of the things that people were asking me is, you know, like, why do you think that was? Well, think about it. You would, let's say, go to work, you'd come home, and then when you'd come home, you would deal with whatever's there. That's in today's world. In that world. In today's world, there is no time that you're not allowed to be on, you know, email or messenger. I mean, I've gotten messages from my brother and sisters on email, and it's like, you know, they're much more on it than I am. And then it's like, well, you didn't get back to me. Or other people that I know, well, I'm just choosing to have more calm. So I don't do it as often as everyone else. And I think there's something to be said about all these electronics we have and how they're very much in our lives. And we are expected, it's not like appreciated, but expected to be on them. Now, somebody like, you know, most of the world, they're on it all the time and this and that. And therefore, my brother and sister are very right to expect that of me and the rest of the world. And there's a space where I say, okay, I know for myself that when I do work past, let's say, 9 o'clock at night, then my brain's still working. It takes me many, many hours to come down before I can go to sleep. And some people are just these like go-getters and they just want to work all the time and they're great at that and, you know, fantastic for them. But I think it starts with who are we? What is our daily life like? Like if you write down, when I wake up, what is my first thought? Am I saying, thank you, God, for, you know, having me above ground? Or is it all the stress I have to do and work and people? And to just be mindful and just take a moment and think, how am I starting my day? If I start my day with a meditation, if I start my day with calm, I have a better chance of maintaining that throughout the day. It's kind of like going on a marathon. You can just run and run, run really fast, but you know, how long will that last? It's keeping the pace. So you can actually finish it and then do it maybe even better than everyone else. And I've just really watched relationships and communication. And I've seen where somebody who's, let's say, has a lot on their plate and they're very stressed out, and someone who is managing their stress, sometimes it looks like they don't have much on their plate, which is not the case. And it's almost as if society hasn't learned to appreciate or create self-esteem and encouragement for the calm. We're getting there, but we're not quite there yet. And so I would say, like,
I'm sorry, but I don't even think we're even close to it, because I mean, I got the other day, you know, my daughter came home and said, oh, so-and-so is really upset with you because you didn't answer her email or you didn't answer so-and-so's text. And I'm just like, well, I don't really read the text as often as everybody else does. I'm old-fashioned. Why can't you pick up a phone and call me, you know, if you're somebody personal and or business, instead of all these texts? And how many texts a day can you read and emails? So obviously, if you're a busy person, like we're busy people who do other things other than personal text, it becomes a burden and it becomes people's feelings hurt, and you didn't do anything. I mean, you didn't do anything to hurt their feelings, but they were so lazy, they couldn't pick, and this is my opinion, they couldn't pick up a phone and say, hi, you know, and you can hear their voice and you can hear their tone, but on a text, Joyce, you cannot even know if they're being sarcastic, if they're being funny, if they're being loving. You cannot tell from the text the tone of the message. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I well, two things. One, I don't know if it's necessary laziness. Like, I can say with family members in my life, you know, they're extremely busy and in like running onto meeting after meeting, so they don't necessarily have the time, and I totally get that. But what I've had to learn is, what's the language that works for both? Like, for me,
because you were talking about the past, but in the past that never happened.
I know, but it's like, I think, like, for example, I'm really good at WhatsApp, so I can tell family members to do that. And if there's an issue, I know on text it doesn't always come out good. And so it's better, like, let's just pick up a phone and talk when we can, or Zoom or whatever, that would create that feeling, because I think that there's a lot of miscommunication. But I think the thing that we need to think about is, all of these electronics essential today, and yet, when is it allowed to turn them off? When you're sleeping, and then when are you expected to turn them on? And I just kind of, there's not a real answer, but it's more of a question that I want everyone to ask themselves, like, how much time per day are you on Facebook? Are you on Instagram? Are you on any social media? And one of the things that I found is, in business, one needs to sometimes be on it twice a day. Well, it's just creating a plan. Okay, so after you get up, and maybe get up without the news, get up with just like some soft music in the background, slowly, like you're like birthing yourself to the morning. Then when you get up, then you can, you know, let's say have coffee and breakfast, and afterwards or before, do your social media, then later. And if it's planned, and it's hard to always follow the plan, so, you know, you have to move around a little bit, but you create a calm, positive, and even an awesome life. And one of the things that I think is imperative is learning how to say yes and learning how to say no. And people are not clear on their boundaries, so they give their boundaries away, and then they get passive aggressive with other people. Have you found that in your life?
Well, sometimes I see the benefit to, absolutely, you know, like, oh, I'm going to be late, or don't wait for me, or I can't make it. and different things like that. But even though I find that there are certain people who I do business with, and I'll say, I will send them an email, and I will say, because maybe they're in New York, you know, they're 3 hours ahead of us. Well, it's 6 o'clock in the morning here, and they're calling me at 9 o'clock their time. And even though I send them the message, please mark this on your day timer, do not call Rose Eastern time at 6 a.m. because I sometimes stay up late writing. So I may have only been asleep 3 or 4 hours and the phone's ringing. So, and I find that I sent to them and specifically, and yet I find that the younger people today, not so much the mature people who've been in business a long time, but the younger people don't pay attention to that. And they just say, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. I mean, so the communication through email or texting doesn't always work either if they haven't learned how to comprehend and listen. So how does that play into this communication scheme here?
I've had that a lot. I've had, you know, friends who had business, let's say in New York, then LA, then London, then Paris. And, you know, just because they're awake doesn't mean the rest of the world is. So, you know, but what I've learned in this is in all aspects is that we can't change, we can't control anyone except ourselves. And so I put my phone on mute, and certain people who I'm close with, I would just say, could you please just, rather than you figure out the time, please don't call me before this time or after this time. And it really is a sign of their respect for themselves and for you. And for me, I think that I've just had to make a boundary for myself, like at 9 o'clock, unless it's an emergency, I don't go and do business. It doesn't make sense for me because I pay it maybe the next day or two. But see, this is the whole idea I was trying to bring out for communication is everything starts with us. So if I ask somebody to do something or not to do something, then I'm giving them my power. So, and sometimes it's challenging, you know, many times we get tested all the time. And the idea is when we have all these electronics around us and all over the place is how to have the boundary to say to yourself, okay, and I totally feel you with the writing because I'm also a writer. And sometimes it's 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, that's when it moves you. That's when you get up and start doing it, whatever it is. And there is a way to just create turning off all your electronics. The problem is that sometimes the only telephone is the, you know, cell phone. And there you go. And there's the challenges. The other thing is really understanding your boundaries. And it starts with what are my yeses? What are my nos? After that, what are my boundaries? And to say to yourself 3 times in the morning when you wake up, I respect my boundaries. I respect my boundaries. I respect my boundaries. When you respect your boundaries, others will. And it shows up in all the different things in your life. And when you're in a relationship, it could be a friend, it could be business, it could be a spouse. And they're asking you to do something. It could be as simple as doing the dishes. And you know, hey, you know what? It doesn't feel right for me. Now, there's situations, let's say someone has a broken arm or they can't do it. That's, you know, a different story. But if you're feeling like I'm doing too much, then it's the ownership is on you to have that conversation. I need to talk to you about something. I know that, you know, this is the reason it makes total sense that you'd like me to do the dishes. It doesn't sit with me right. It's not landing okay. So what can we do so we both win at this? If that just that was communicated in relationships, then when people start feeling angry, they'll say, well, where did that come from? Resentments. Where are my resentments from? It always is from you not speaking. So why are you blaming this person when it's really your problem? Why are you not speaking? What is it that you need to speak? And you're not saying it in a loving way because you wait till you're like a cartoon character and explode. It's not fair. It's not fair for the other person. And what I'm really wanting to do, and my whole focus on my recordings on stress management and my book that's upcoming on relationships, is all about really owning our own, you know, issues. What if we dislike something in someone else? We have to look in the mirror. Well, what am I showing up like this for? Why is it bothering me so much? Because if it wasn't an issue for you, you'd be able to just say, hey, you know what? Like, let's say it's as simple as someone always likes tying your shoelaces. Why are you tying my shoelaces? Okay, like, what's going on with that? You'd laugh and make light of it, you know? So if it's something that's a charged issue, it has a past history to it. You know what I'm saying with that?
Yes, I do. And, you know, see what happens? Even though I turned it off, it came on. The other electronic
communication.
They're going to get to you no matter what. They're going to tell you their message.
Always.
And so there's different communications. There's verbal communication. There's nonverbal communication, which can really cause a problem if you're having an argument or a disagreement, or you're seeing something, you're thinking something that they did to you and you're not speaking to them. Then there's written communication, which can also be good or adverse if you're a person that writes something because you're angry and then mail it off like I did the first time, never did that again. I was sorry. And listening. People do not listen today. I've said that over and over again because we're so used to, like I said, the computer is great, but it also has adversities where people just want to read the headline now. Everybody wants to speak. Many people are not listening and to the person who may be, whether it's on Zoom or by phone or in person, and trying to communicate something important to them, the other person is so anxious to get back on their phone or their messages or text somebody that they really not list everybody in a positive and also in a negative way. And also there's visual communication where people, you think somebody made some kind of gesture with their face or their hands or their body or something, and you can take it in a good way or what's that supposed to mean? So there's so many different types of communication, and I think they're all important and equally important. What do you think?
I agree with you, you know, and I think that we're listening. You know, I love Native Americans. Okay, so I'm going to go back there for a moment. And Native Americans started this thing called the talking stick. And some people call it the feather technique. I actually have it in my book. And it's so great because sometimes, I don't know if you know this, but I was reading a script for a soap opera in California and in New York. You know that New York has almost twice the amount of words. And so I asked about that, and they said, well, because people in California talk much slower. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So they also talk much faster, which can be very stressful if you're not necessarily New York to LA, but any person who does that, who speaks really fast or really slow. And it depends on who the listener is. If they're on the same vibe with them, that's great. If they're not, it could be hard for them. And what I like about the talking stick is that somebody who, let's say, takes a while to get to their point. So I've done a little change up in that. And that is, let's say, for example, you have two people in the same room. I'm not sure how you exactly would do it on a phone or something other than together, but you can figure that out. And let's say they time each person has 2 minutes. Well, the benefit in that is because if somebody is talking to you and they know, okay, if I listen to you, I can speak in 2 minutes or 4 minutes or whatever the agreement of time is. I wouldn't say more than 5 minutes because it's hard to keep track of all that. Then the next person talks and you go back and forth until you're both done. And you don't go over an hour because it kind of stresses both the people out, but you can always do it again in a couple hours or the following day. The idea is that somebody who talks a lot, sometimes it's just because they're having a hard time getting to their point. And that's why I love the talking stick. It just makes it easy. The stress is out and everyone gets their fair share. Have you ever tried that?
No, I haven't, but it sounds like a great idea. And the bottom line is that you're going back to the past of how people actually did communicate. And I think it's more important to even remember, if you're going to go back to the past, how less stress there was in the family, in the neighborhood, because people came together at meals, especially dinner and on Sunday. The whole family did, or the entire family went to grandma's house like we did. Everybody came together. And they went to church on Sunday. And so they started their day off spiritually, most Americans. You can look at all the old classic movies. And they prayed before their meal, which brings spirituality into your life and being grateful for teaching kids to be grateful for food on the table and whatever they have.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I think that a lot of that important personal in gathering of spirituality has gone out the window and everybody's focusing on technology and they are not communicating with each other in a human way. And so as the crime has increased in America and the lawlessness, like allowing unidentified people into our country by the millions, people have different communication skills. Some don't speak English. Many don't speak English. And we are being told, you need to learn to speak, let's say, Spanish, or you need to learn to speak Italian, or you need to learn to speak Vietnamese. No, we don't. We need to go back to basics. I mean, sure, learn it if you want to, but it shouldn't be a requirement to accommodate everybody else's communication. People who come into our country should be accommodating and willing and wanting to communicate. And the only way for everybody to communicate is to have a major and a priority of a language, which has always been English until recent years. And so it even complicated it more with the language barriers and into the schools, into the job market. And now it's even more complicated with the internet, where that past personal spirituality that was accepted and most people went along with it. There was a lot of positivity in this country. And sure, we had problems, we had crime, but not like we're seeing today, where that has just disappeared because everybody's driving through a fast food restaurant because everybody has so many activities. They don't have time to get together and talk or listen, or because everybody feels so challenged today with keeping up with everything that's happening and concerned, and rightfully concerned. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, and that's why the stress levels up. And, you know, when you're saying that, I was thinking about TV shows, actually. And I was thinking, you know, you're talking about sitting down for a meal. Well, I know before my time, there was TV shows, and it always included parents and families would sit down at a certain time and they'd eat. And then there was another situation where, I don't know, 5-10 years after that, I honestly do not recall a TV show where it was everyone sit down. I mean, Young Sheldon, but that's not considered in this time, you know, this was a previous time. So there's something to be said about that, because I know families are like, okay, well, I'll go to McDonald's and pick up food. So everyone, you know, what do you want? So then, you know, dinner's ready. And I mean, you're touching on something that's a little sore subject for me, which is, why is it, and this is, I'm going to throw this out here, why is it that you look at shows like in the 60s, right, or you look at Marilyn Monroe, there was no gyms at that time, okay? So there was no gyms, and if there was, it was like, you know, bodybuilders, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger type gyms. And if that was the case, then why is it that now everyone's expected to eat very much, you know, eat less, work out more, all these different like expectations so you're healthy? And I think what's happened is there's a balance of where is me, where am I in all of this, what am I willing to accept, what am I not. I mean, I know people, and I've been one of them myself, who said, I am not going to buy into this whole diet thing, but then guess what? I gained weight. There's a simple mathematical equation, diet, exercise, lose weight, and there's just no way around it. But isn't it interesting that Marilyn Monroe was a size 10, which would be considered fat today, and yet she had a flat stomach?
Well, I think, you know, back then, and even into the 60s, that's when Twiggy came and everybody had to look like a twig in the fashion world. And everybody wanted to look like a twig in the fashion world till it got to be so unhealthy when it finally was exposed in the 90s of all the anorexia that was happening and all the pills that were being popped to stay skinny, and in the movies and all that, demanded by mainly men who were in those industries. Especially at that time, I think, you know, the fact that not eating, we, you know, in the past we ate healthy foods. We can have organic. Organic was what you picked off the farms and off the trees and out of the vegetable farms and rinsed them off and cooked them. Now it's like organic is that. But it's going to cost you two or three, well, today, three times more. A dozen of eggs the other day was $8. I mean, this is insanity. That's protein. What happened to our chickens? We had more chickens being hatched in this world than baby in this country than babies. Now we have no eggs. Hello? So we have to have a shortage of eggs and protein? So this is really evil, and so in my opinion, very evil, sinister agenda going on, because now if you want to pay less money, then you have to buy the food that was sprayed with pesticide. So what does pesticide do to you? It kills you because it destroys your immune system, because they're chemicals that you're constantly eating, or you go to the airport and you're being radiated, or you're breathing in all the fumes from Fukushima still. Nobody talks about, and contaminated the oceans and the air and the water. And so all this radiation and the towers they have now, 5G towers all over the place, at least here in California, all this radiation is affecting our brains, our body cells. And when you start destroying the cells, you're going to destroy the immune system and you're going to die. And you're probably going to get cancer more than likely. And so people are like, gee, I don't know. She was so healthy, or he was so healthy. What could have happened? Well, these are unseen, sinister agendas that are attacking humanity, and nobody's paying attention. And so if you talk about things in the media, like on social media, you probably get blocked and or suspended, or, you know, get your hand slapped. Something's going to happen to you. So this is another thing I wanted to ask you about. So, okay, this social media is fantastic, but they can also cut your communication off. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's so horrible that, I mean, I just want to say something, a friend of mine, which I think is ridiculous, but she's like, I know the answer. We should all get chickens. And if we have chickens, we get our own eggs, and then we can have more chickens, and we can have meals. Now, I think that's really, like, it's impossible, and I think there's a lot of, like, legal regulations in cities and such like that. However, there's something to be said about the importance of taking care of yourself. And it's like what you're saying before about dinner and how people used to sit down together. You know, I did a study, and they, for children who wound up at Harvard and, you know, Ivy League colleges. And one of the things that they found is that the children who sat home with their parents at dinner time, and the parents said, how was your day? What happened, and how do you feel about that? Those are the kids, and I mean, who the parents not just saying it, but really, you know, care. Those are the kids who wind up not just going to Ivy League school, but also happier, healthier, more positive in life, all the things that we want to accomplish. And, you know, the entire thing about the government is so complicated. And what's happened is it's actually in some ways very simple, but how, what to do about it. And what you're saying about organic, I totally get that. And then there was this man who had a farm who said to me, you know, can I be honest with you? I'm like, of course. He said, you buy the organic, but right next door is not organic. And what do you think happens with the winds? The seeds go on to the place that says organic. I said, you're kidding me. He goes, no. It's Mother Nature. And it's the best that one can do, unless they have a farm that they can, you know, do their own gardening and such. And it's a shame, and it's horrible that they ever had to, that they were ever allowed to put these chemicals in that now we have to pay more for if we want to be healthy. And with what you're saying about social media, that's you know, there's actually like 12-step programs on this now. They're saying that people who have an addiction, so they don't know how to not be on it. And I think that's what I was starting to say with, like, and, you know, my brother and sister are, you know, great with the email, but that's their mode of, you know, of communication, where let's say mine would be more of WhatsApp, or somebody else is, you know, just not online as much as someone else. And same thing, whether it was, you know, social media or email, anything electronic, it's like we're not something, the message is, if we're not on whatever these hours are, then something's wrong with us, or we're not doing business, or we're not successful, whatever that message is. And I really think everyone just needs to slow down and say, wait a second. It's not my business what anyone else thinks of me. It's the only thing I could do is share love and, you know, like for, like now, I just, you know, said to my brother and sister, WhatsApp works for me. And now we communicate really well like that. But you know how long it took for us to all figure that out? It's like, and this is like life, you know? Sometimes the closest person to you doesn't understand this one little thing that would mean, would make things easier. And it's staying and communicating to where you can find that. And remember that everyone's having a hard time right now. There's nobody in this world who's having an easy time about it. And I think that it's very important to find some peaceful time, whether it's meditation in the morning, meditation at night. Treat yourself like your child. You go to sleep. You want to think good thoughts. You want to be in a good place. Create something fun and easy and thoughtful, and maybe say some gratitudes of what you got in the day. Wake up with some gratitudes and some meditations. You know, think about what you would need to have a good day. Like if you live near the beach, like Santa Monica, they have the stairs, or just running on the beach, just going and breathing the beach. I mean, I know people take their laptop and just sit on the beach and just, you know, do their emails there, just to have that feeling.
The other issue about the internet, though, is that if you look up one thing, you are bombarded with emails, you know, of whatever. Maybe it wasn't even something you just were curious. It's not something you're going to buy, that you're going to use, or you're just curious, or it's for somebody else. You're looking up some information. All of a sudden, you're bombarded. And it is just like, oh, my gosh. I mean, everybody I talk to, they go, I wake up and I have 50 more emails, you know, because I asked about a question on the Internet. And I think that should be – I think that they should control that, because I think you should have to be the one who wants to link into a company. If you're interested in it, instead of bombarding people with 50 different emails that you now have to read and delete, you know, who they're from, or if they're spam, or, you know, if you want to just delete them. And that takes time. And I think that's pretty stressful too.
Yeah, for sure. And see, this again goes under what we can control and what we can't. So I'll tell you something that I telling your audience as well, which is I have another email. And so people, a friend of mine actually met Mother Teresa, and she gave him a card, and he said, you have a card? She goes, yes, you Americans like this card exchange. So I got myself a card. So I thought that was hysterical, you know. But in any case, what happens is that when you have the situations in your life where you can just create your calm and say to yourself, okay, I need to do me. I need to figure out sometime in the day where I even just take 15 minutes. Maybe it's a nap. Maybe it's a meditation. How do I live my life where I can actually focus and not be so brought into all this chaos? I mean, you know, it's like I have a separate email, and that helps me. So when I am looking at something, they have this, you know, somewhat fake email. It's a real email, but I never look at it. So this way, all of these other things goes to that. And then, like, I'm at a point in even in my email now, unfortunately, somehow they find you somewhere on the internet. So I'm actually really thinking about changing my email again. I haven't done that in so many years, probably over 10 years, but I think maybe it's worth it, because if you change your email, I mean, that's not an easy thing by any means. It's like changing a bank account pretty much. It might help. And I also think for me, like I have an email that people can just email me, like they always want to email, like Mother Teresa, like people want a card. You want an email. I'll give you an email because it makes you happy. I just won't look there. That's okay.
I get
you know, it's kind of
like email because it's crazy. And so I got a separate email for certain people. And then I even got another cell phone for personal people. And I don't give it out, you know, online because I don't want to be bombarded like my other friends bombarded with all this stuff. You put your phone number in there one time and it's everywhere. And so I just keep it, but I, for that purpose. And then I have a separate phone for my personal stuff because it got to be too much. And that helped me de-stress because I know who's calling on a specific phone is going to be somebody I know.
Exactly. I mean, I got on some kind of Bitcoin list, and no matter what, they just keep on calling me. It's seriously uncomfortable. I also have emails that are not the emails are not saying like unsubscribe, which is illegal. And of course, I could take the time to get rid of that, but they have like a whole collection of different topics. So sometimes, even though one is right, like it is right for them, for me not to have to deal with this, that's not going to get me anywhere. And sometimes I just have to say, okay, if I can't make this change, then maybe it's time to start thinking of another email. And that might be also refreshing. And I think what's so important is just really realizing like there's so many hours in the day. And in the old days, people used to work 9 to 5. And then they'd come home and have dinner with their spouse. Then they'd have time with their kids, maybe to help them do homework, hang out with a friend, go to the pub, go to a bar, go to a movie, come, you know, go on, you know, do groceries, whatever is needed, and then you're home. There's something that intuitively has been taken from us, and this work ethic that there's no stop. It's just continuous, on and on and on. And it's not even understood that you take, let's say, a day off or the weekend to relax. So I think for me, I have found that when I'm working with somebody who has a lot of stress management, let's say, issues, I just have them write down everything that they're stressful about. And write down what they do from the moment they wake up, what do they think about, till the moment they go to sleep for a week. And I don't really need to even say that much. When they see it in their own handwriting, their own paper, this is what I'm thinking first thing in the morning, that's got to go. I need to change that up.
What do you think about the fact that the government now, you know, whoever controls all this internet, the CEOs of the companies and the government, they know exactly what you're doing, what you're buying, what you're looking at, what you're typing, what your thoughts are. I mean, they have it all. I mean, they have your whole mind. And they know everything about you and your body and what you like and what you dislike and what you're thinking. And I mean, so what do you think about that, that we have given over basically our thoughts and our minds and our habits and behaviors of when we go on the internet, when we get off the internet, if we ever get off the internet, when we're back on our phones. So it's almost like we're being trained up. It's almost like we're being trained up to give all this information to the government because we're being entertained and it's convenient and we can express ourselves, we can talk to somebody, a lot of people are lonely, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you think about us giving up our basically our privacy to the internet and the government and the CEOs of those companies?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I just had a conversation with someone yesterday on that. And I think it's horrible. I think that there should be not just freedom of speech, freedom of life, and freedom to think about what you want. And somebody was saying to me, they put on social media, they liked purple toes. They just wanted to see where it would go.
they got so much on these purple toes. It was a joke, and you couldn't believe it. And it's like, well, that's how hate is building on social media, because someone would be interested, let's say, in some kind of hate group. Then they start thinking, okay, this is an algorithm. They like this. We'll give them more of this. So they encourage the hate, but they didn't realize they were doing that. And it's whatever you're looking for, they give you more of. There is no way to really change that, because it's also a business that needs to make money. So if somebody has pimples, let's say, and they're looking for all these pimple creams or dermatologists or whatever they would are looking for to cure this problem, instead of just going and getting, you know, one look, then, you know, social media goes, oh, okay, person with purple, with pimple problems, let's give them all these other things. Oh, I didn't realize that. And sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes they wind up giving you things that you wouldn't have known you needed. And, you know, that has been helpful to many people. However, there's the other side of the coin, who are, now they have all this information on me, and there's no out. I can't get back my information. It's gone. So that's the life that we live. I mean, what's our option? Just not to be on social media. And then we don't have business, and then we're not in the world where other people are working. And who knows what's really next?
It's really interesting, isn't it, how these challenges have come into our lives. And at first we just thought they were fun, and look at this and look at that. And then they turn out to be an issue in our lives and a part of our lives that we're not willing to give up, because, you know, we do like the communication. We do like fast information. We do like, you know, communicating with quickly and sending messages. But at the same time, we are trapped.
Yeah. It's very, very true. And it's like you know, when Elon Musk bought Twitter, it's like, okay, he's bringing out things that were there that knew, that people didn't know they thought of. And the hope is that at the end of the day, the light wins. The problem is there's a lot of darkness before the light. And we're seeing some things that are just horrible. And, you know, I'm afraid of some of the things that are happening. And at the same time, it's not going to help. Fear doesn't help. It just paralyzes. So it's talking about it. It's having shows like you do and making sure that your message gets out, that people are listening, because they're wanting to better themselves. They're wanting a better relationship with others. They're wanting to understand the world better. They're wanting to understand what is happening with our banks. What is happening with the social media? Why is it that there was a time that people had closer family relationships? They would have disagreements, but they'd all listen to each other, respect each other's feelings and differences, and then move on. And I think that we miss that somehow it's been okay to be upset with a family member and not even talk it through, and then have all these issues with them for the rest of your life if you ever speak again. And some do and some don't. And I just think that we just live in a time that it, like, this negative relationships seem to be acceptable. And I just want to say no. It's like, I absolutely love the way you talked about your Christmas, you know, meal with your family. I think everyone should have the rule that when that's whatever holiday or whatever dinner they have with family, because we all have our own issues with family, is to just make it peaceful And then if there's an issue afterwards, go and talk to, you know, to each other at a different occasion. And I think that people just really miss that. They're like living in a way that they try to be perfect, or they don't want to upset people. So then they are miserable because they feel shut down. And I think especially for women, it's time to say, hello, I'm a human being. I have a right to my voice. I have a right to be heard. You have a right to your voice. You have a right to be heard. And let's just talk. And what happened to talking without hurting each other, but just expressing, this is how I feel about this. This is how you feel about this.
Yes, and I'm glad you pointed all that out, because we've run out of time, unfortunately, so we'll have to do this again. Hopefully with a repeat next month of more on communication, because I truly believe communication is everything. And, you know, I have even brought the Christmas communication efforts that I've made, and you accepted as liking it even further. And I'll talk to you about that if we can set another date. We'll communicate by internet. because I even took it a step further, and it seems to be working for me. So maybe it'll, you know, give you some new ideas, and maybe it'll help some other people too with family issues. And I just love everything you said, and your time that you spent with us today, enlightening us on communication. It's so important. And go ahead and give your website and any information on contacting you.
Okay, and I also want to say thank you, and I just love how you're so helpful to people, and I just appreciate you from one human being to another enormously. So thank you. And I absolutely love to be on your show next month. So my website is joycealexanderblack.com. And I have what used to be called CDs, a lot of recordings. I have 7 recordings on iTunes. So if you just put in my name, Joyce Alexander Black, you can put MA, but it probably will just pop up. And you'll see different recordings. And the ones for stress management is so good right now. They have one for children as well as adults. And you can listen to it while you go to sleep at night. And people have been like telling me that they run the stairs in Santa Monica and they do this and they do that. It's just whatever your dream is, whatever you want, it helps you get there. So I hope you have the most amazing life, and you just keep on moving forward. Stay positive. Keep on listening to Rose's show. This is just fabulous. And I will speak to you next time. And thank you so much for having me on the show again.
Oh, you're so welcome. Have a great day, Joyce. And I'll talk to you again next month. Bye-bye. You're welcome. And now we have to say goodbye, because Joyce Alexander Black has left the building, and I'm going to have to leave the building as well. And I just want to remind you to be sure to get a copy of my message to the world, Obamasaurus, at Amazon.com.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies, and now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.